Yo, what's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. I'm Combo Breaker 99, and this is episode 39, man. I just wanted to come back and do a real quick episode with y'all. This is going to be a quick one. I just want to go back and talk about a few things from the past few weeks. Just some different things I took from different fights that went down that I just wanted to share with y'all. The main theme of this episode is patience and growth. And one of the things I've seen in a few fights this past weekend, you know, MMA and boxing, was, you know, patience. I was just able to see how, you know, patience was able to really help a few fighters really get through what they were going through as far as in the ring and out of the octagon. You know, whenever you're looking at fighters like, for example, one of the fights I looked at the previous, was Ali Akhmedov versus Carlos Gongora. And that was just a good example of patience in the ring. You know, patience in the ring, just being steady, not getting too over anxious. You know, when somebody keeps coming at you, putting that pressure on you, you just stay in there, you stay in the fight, and you just keep on doing what you do, and eventually you'll get the win. You know, you will overcome that obstacle. And also, it was another thing that just popped in my mind about Julian Robertson versus Tyler Santos. You know, just something I want to talk about too in that that aspect of patience and growth, growth as a fighter. Also want to talk about the return of Joanna, you know, which I'll be brief on in this one. You know, it's something I'll revisit, you know, throughout the year, you know, whenever she has some fight news really announced. But I just want to go back and talk to y'all about some of the things I talked on in the live stream that I've done about the return of Joanna, and, you know, why her presence is still needed in the strawweight division. Then I want to revisit Canelo, you know, after Canelo, his dominant performance over Caleb Smith, what that performance means and what should be next for Canelo Alvarez. But just going back up here, man, patience and growth. Like I said, patience is very important in the ring and outside of the ring. And like I said, good example of it was Carlos Gongora versus Ali Akhmedov. Carlos Gongora, this was a guy who took the fight on two-week notice, came in, you know, cut down like 10-20 pounds for this fight. Then he went in there as the underdog, you know, against a people kind of saw him as food, even though he was undefeated. They saw him as food against an undefeated fighter that's promoted by Golovkin, you know. So he went in there, and I did a post-fight discussion video on this fight, but you know, he just went in there, overcame the pressure, the power punching of a guy like Ali Akhmedov. He just stayed into the fight, took some hard shots, but he just stayed calm, cooled, and relaxed. If you just look at his facial expression, his body language, you could tell he was a fighter that was in there saying, okay, I got this, you know. And I just feel like that's something a lot of fighters, they have to follow. You know, you just go in there, if somebody comes straight at you and they really want to take you out, they want to put that pressure on you, and you know, you got the judges against you, and you know, even the way the commentators talk, sometimes they're against you too. That's a lot of pressure, but you still have to have patience in these situations, man, because the patience and the calmness, that will favor you in the long run. Because if you start to play into their, if you start to play into the favorite, if you start to play into their game plan, it'll make you over anxious, it'll stress you out, it'll frustrate you, and it'll kind of make you second guess yourself. At the same time, it'll turn into psyching you out. It'll psych you out and say, okay, maybe I am supposed to lose in this situation. You know, if Carlos Gongora was a fighter that says, okay, this is the power puncher and he's the favorite, if he kept thinking that way, then he's going to say, eventually, I got to lay down for him. You know, but Carlos Gongora, he went in there, came in there with his own game plan and just said, okay, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to wait this out. I know what he's going to bring to the table, and I'm going to just keep on doing me. You know, and that's what he did. Good sharp left hands in this fight. Good, precise, accurate punches in this fight, while the power puncher continued to throw out of his element and tried to take him out, constantly putting pressure on him and trying to land big shots. But he just stayed in there and, like I said, took it all the way to the 12th round and scored a good, solid knockout over the favorite in Ali Akhmedov. But yeah, man, this is just one of those situations. Like I said, you can really look at it and, you know, just compare it to life. You know, there's going to be times whenever you got to be patient with people. You know, there's going to be people who put that type of pressure on you in life, and they really come at you and try to frustrate you, make you over anxious. But you just got to say, I got to stay calm, cool, and collected, because the more you stay patient, the more you're clear headed. You stay clear headed, and you'll be able to think and say, okay, I can make the right choices for myself. You know, I can make the right choices for myself, and I can come out with what I want in this situation. And that's what Carlos Gongora did in this fight. You know, he took some heavy shots, but he said, okay, I know what this guy's bringing to the table. Let me just draw this out a little bit longer. Because most times, like I said, in boxing, a lot of people get scared of punches, and they're already psyched out. Whether, you know, if you go in there with a heavy puncher, you're automatically thinking, okay, when this guy hits me in the face, I'm supposed to go down. But not all the time. If you meet that puncher head on, or if you continue to take him into deep waters, that power is gonna go down sooner or later, especially if they're not known to throw high volumes of punches. And that's what Carlos Gongora, he factored in. He said, okay, let me take my time in this fight and just stay calm, stay cool, and stay collected, and eventually I'll get him down, you know. So yeah, man, that's what I just kind of took from that fight. It was a good fight. Like I said, 2 weeks ago on that Golovkin card, I didn't watch the Golovkin fight though. You know, I didn't even want to see that mismatch. I just wanted to check this one out here because, you know, Carlos Gongora went in there, took the fight on 2 week notice, and put off the upset. And also, patience, man. Like, patience and growth is important in a fight. Another fight that I took it from another fight with Tyler Santos and Jillian Robertson. I say patience because Tyler Santos is a fighter who's very talented. Had a rough rocky start in the UFC. She's came away with one. She's 1-1. Her record is 1-1. One win over Molly McCann and one loss over Mara Romero Barella. And based off of that, you know, a lot of people felt like Jillian Robertson was the favorite in this fight. But like I said, even going off the eye test, I knew that for some reason, something in me was telling me that, you know, Tyler Santos is ready. You know, she's shown a lot of patience, even with all these cancellations. You know, she stayed steady. She stayed calm. She stayed in training, always prepared for that fight. You know, then there was another cancellation. I think she had a total of like 12, 14 cancellations leading up to this Jillian Robertson fight, you know, throughout her UFC signing, which is crazy. But yeah, man, but she went in there in this fight. Again, a lot of people feel like Jillian Robertson had the ground game to take somebody like Tyler Santos out. But Tyler Santos proved everybody wrong. You know, just because she doesn't have 5, 6, 7 wins in the UFC, she still has that skill. And based off the eye test, that physical strength and that skill set and technique to take a fighter out like Jillian Robertson. It was just the fact that Jillian Robertson has never faced anybody like her before. You know, Jillian Robertson may have this many wins over this caliber of opponents, but Tyler Santos is that fighter levels above her. She just hasn't had a chance to show it. You know, and I know it's always show and prove in the fight game, but at the same time, you got to go by the eye test in certain situations. I know we couldn't go by resume because she's stopped a lot of people that we haven't heard of, but at the same time, if you go back and look at body language, like I said, Tyler Santos is the much physically stronger fighter. Look at her core, her foundation, her legs, her body language. Much more of a stronger fighter than Jillian Robertson. Now, Jillian Robertson is good on the ground. You know, she's strong on that level, but, you know, she's not the physically strong inside fighter or more close to complete fighter like Tyler Santos was. And, you know, Tyler Santos, like I said, man, like, she really went in there and showed you that, look, I have all this skill and I'm ready to prove it. Having that patience really showed you that, look, all this time she was trying her best to stay ready. You know, she was training, and at the same time, instead of building up frustration, she was building up hunger. You know, that's what was going on, like, throughout these postponements and all these other fighters not being able to show up for a fight with Tyler Santos. All that time, instead of building up frustration, well, I'm sure, you know, every fighter gets a little frustrated, but, you know, getting angry, she was building up hunger. You know, she was building up that momentum more so. And like I said, momentum in this case was very, very, it was very, very critical to her performance. You know, whether, you know, some people, they look at resume. That's why I was also talking about resume versus momentum, and also had eye test versus resume. Just different situations where you could really, like, match, use these two different things in these different situations. But yeah, man, Tyler Santos, like I said, shout out to Tyler. You know, after a rough start in the UFC, you know, not even like on like a big like losing streak, just constantly having so many fight postponements and only going 1-1 since she's been signed. when she's 2-1 now, but you know, just staying patient and then coming in there and making a big statement against a fighter like Jillian Robertson, who is also a fighter with that was put on there as having one of the longest winning streaks and most wins in the flyweight division. You know, that's a solid win for Tyler Santos. But yeah, man, like I said, patience is growth, very important in the game. You know, you really have to know how to grow as a fighter as well, which is something, going back to Ali Akhmedov, he has to learn from here. You know, see Carlos Gongora, he was a fighter who showed growth inside the ring. So yeah, man, with Tyler Santos, I really feel like one of the things that I took away from her performance and just leading up to this fight was patience. You know, she was a fighter that had a lot of cancellations, you know, a lot of postponements, but she just stayed patient. She just stayed focused. And I noticed that because, you know, it showed in her performance. You know, she didn't come in there frustrated. You haven't really heard too much frustration from her outside of the octagon. Instead of building up like that anxiety and anger for having all these fights, you know, all these other fighters pull out of their fights with her, she was building up hunger, you know, momentum. You know, she was more so getting hungry every time. You know, every time somebody pulled out, she just go back to the gym and say, okay, let me get ready. Let me stay ready. And again, that's just showcasing her performance. And, you know, she came away with a solid win over a fighter in Jillian Robertson, who had one of the most wins in the flyweight division. You know, so again, this was just one of those situations where I said, okay, you know, I can really relate to a fighter like this because, you know, she shows patience. And that's something we always have to do in life. You know, we have to say, okay, we can't get over anxious here. We just have to wait, and our opportunity will come for whatever it is, you know. And another thing, like I said, with growth, going back to the Ali Akhmedov fight and Carlos Gongora fight, growth is very important. I mean, it's important outside of the ring, but it's the same time you have to grow as a fighter when you're performing. You know, somebody like Ali Akhmedov, you know, just going in there with the same game plan, knockout, 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 you could really see that there was no growth there. It's important that you have to have growth with different styles. You know, your mind has to evolve as you make moves in the ring. I know there's only so much you can do in training, but like I've heard other fighters say before, what goes on in the actual fight, you know, it's a different atmosphere. It's a different atmosphere. You can spar all day, you can train all day, you can drill all day, but it's not the same as whenever you get into the boxing ring or you get into the octagon. You know, that's whenever you really show improve, and that's where you really show what it is you have. You know, that's where you really can show what you have. And somebody like Ali Akhmedov, the way he had the same approach, showed you that he wasn't really growing. And he's got to grow. You know, as a puncher, he has to grow. He has to show other levels, you know, against guys who are going to just walk through him or try to take him into deep waters like they did. You know, you got to go in there and say, okay, this guy can take my punch. At the same time, he's hitting me back. It's time to switch levels. It's time to box a little bit more. It's time to become a calculated puncher and not just a pressure puncher where I think he's going to fold like everybody else. Because just because the last 17 guys that you knocked out folded doesn't necessarily mean this next guy, number 18, is going to fold. You know what I mean? And I think that that's something that Ali Akhmedov, he's going to have to learn in the future. Whereas Gongora, he already had that growth. You know, he went in there and said, okay, I know what this guy's bringing to the table. Let me just walk him down, meet him in the middle. Let me clinch him up, smother him, and hit him with one or two single shots and really do damage on him. You know, my one or two will do more damage than his three or four because I'm taking him into deep waters. It's some growth that Carlos Gongora already had there. You know, Jillian Robertson, another fighter who has to show growth. I mean, solid on the ground, very good at submitting fighters, but how she gets fighters to the ground, you know, how she shoots in for her takedowns, she's got to evolve there. You know, you got to be a fighter that goes in there, starts jabbing your way in, starts feinting more with the takedowns, landing big shots to get fighters to the ground instead of just shooting in for the telegraph takedown. You know, Jillian Robertson has to grow there. You know, she's got to be quicker on the feet, more assertive with her punches, with her strikes, be committed to more kicks, and fight on the inside more. You know, like I said, it's one thing if you're in like a jiu-jitsu tournament, you know, if that's what it is, if you're on the ground, good. That's all that's needed. But in mixed martial arts, you got to really be able to get in there, man. You got to know how to get your opponents to the ground, you know, because if you're dealing with somebody with physical strength, takedown defense, and all of that, all of the above, it's going to be a long night for you. So you got to grow. You got to grow. You got to add more levels to your game. If you really want to get to that next level, if you want to get that belt, growth is necessary. Again, like in life, man, like if you want to stay at the same gig, if you want to stay in the same position all the time, then that's fine. But at the same time, if you want more, but you continue to question why you didn't get more, are you growing? You know, are you really growing? Are you trying to improve? Are you trying to do things differently? You know, that's a question you got to ask yourself. So, yeah, that's for fighters, you know, in the ring. That's for everyday people, man. But, yeah, man, real quick, man, like I said with Joanna, I talked about this on a live stream, did a video about her returning to the Octagon. But, yeah, just for the listeners on my podcast here, Joanna returning to 115 in 2021, I think it's necessary. Again, because I just feel like she's one of those fighters that adds the theatrics, if you will. You know, she adds that storyline to the game, you know, with just her overall presence. You know, she's a fighter that boasts confidence, can be real cocky at the same time, but she finds a good balance there. You know, you got to be honest. Like, if you love her or you hate her, even though she was talking trash, even though she was up in your face, even though she's like staring you down and pissing you off and saying crazy things all the time, you know, she is that fighter that would back it up, you know. And that's why I say she's needed. Like, if you were just all theatrics and you weren't performing, then, you know, hey, you gotta go. You gotta go. But if you're a fighter that can find that balance, you know, fighters like Floyd Mayweather, you know, they say crazy stuff, but when they get in there, they back it up. You know what I mean? You gotta be that type of fighter. But yeah, man, what I really think too with Joanna is the one thing I really like about her was the fact that she was very, very consistent. You know, very consistent as a strawweight champion. You know, like to stay active, like to stay in there to fight. When she had the belt, she wanted that belt and she needed that belt. She needed to be champion, and it would always show in her performances. So again, that's something that's really needed in the strawweight division. You know, shout out to Rose. You know, she won the belt. But after, you know, she won it, you know, she was saying that the championship didn't really mean anything, like that physical belt didn't mean anything. But it does if that's what you fought for. If you fought your way to the top, it does have to stand for something, because that's just that physical belt, of course, it's just possession, but it is a sign, it's actual physical sign that you beat the best, that you fought the best, you faced the best, and you beat the best, you know? So that does stand for something. And since then, you know, she hasn't been as consistent. You know, of course, she's lost the title and she's getting ready to line up for the title now. But I just feel like in Joanna's performances, when she was at 115, she really did come in there and she performed. You know, she stayed dedicated. You know, she was always there, even in her losses. You know, she was always there and always working hard, always training hard. And I think that's another element that I really enjoyed about her was her training. You know, she would really go in there and work hard. Just watching her train was a good thing. You know, watching her improve her skill set, you know, her work on her technique, you know, all of that, you know, everything that you've seen about her, you know, leading up into the Octagon, her storyline was always fascinating. You know, love her or hate her, like I said, she says some stupid things sometimes, and, you know, I lost a little bit of respect for her on some of her bullying tactics. But as a fighter, whenever she would go in there and perform, I say, man, this girl's got a good jab, man, this girl has technique, this girl is strong, you know, she just has a lot of elements of a fighter that I do like, you know. So yeah, man, moving forward, hopefully in 2021 we get her back in the Octagon. Like I said, I'd like to see her in there with a Jan Janna, and that would be a good fight, and maybe that would lead to a rematch with Wei Li and Wei Li Rose winner, the winner of that fight. You know, that would probably lead to that. But yeah, man, let me know in the comment section what y'all think. You know, I've talked about this already. You know, Joanna, we discussed it before. So yeah. Canelo Alvarez, man. Really just wanted to talk about Canelo Alvarez as a fighter. You know, a little bit about his performance against Caleb Smith. Real quick, you know, Caleb Smith, I felt like he was a game opponent, you know, because I know a few years ago everybody was saying whenever Canelo fought Rocky Fielding, everybody was like, yo, why ain't you fighting Caleb Smith? You know, so I'm like, yeah, Caleb Smith, Benavidez, Caleb Plant, between those three, Caleb Smith would be a good fight. But then all of a sudden, I heard a lot of people saying Caleb Smith is a cherry pick now when Canelo chose to fight him. You know, I feel like Caleb Smith was better than a Rocky Fielding or a Abner Yildirim. You know, I feel like he was better than those opponents. So outside of the ring, you know, I test again. Once again, I was like, okay, Caleb Smith is a legit guy. The winner of the World Boxing Super 6. So this is a legit guy. You know, 6'3". Got like a, 7-inch reach advantage? Correct me if I'm wrong. But, yeah, definitely had the height advantage in this fight. So on the outside, yeah, it looked like a good challenge for Canelo. But as far as what happened in the ring, that was a different story. You know, Caleb Smith, in my opinion, I know I got some hate for this, but, you know, I felt like Caleb Smith didn't really come in there to win this fight. He just kind of went through the motions to survive. I know what surviving looks like, and I know what actually, you know, fighting your ass off looks like. You know, I felt like Caleb Smith had the power to hurt Canelo. He had the jab to get the respect and the reach and actually box from the outside. I'm sure they went through this before. I know in the John Ryder fight with Caleb Smith, he did have a rough time with John Ryder, but it seems like since then they would have made some improvements and said, okay, you are the bigger, taller guy. It's time to work that jab. It's time to be assertive. But in this fight, you know, Canelo from round 1 to 12 did the same thing. He just walked the taller man down, out jabbed the taller man, beat the taller man up to the body, to the head. And Caleb Smith never really asserted his punch. You know, he never really asserted himself. You know, landed some volume here and there, a couple good right hands, a few jabs, but nothing really to hurt Canelo. I know this guy had the power to hurt Canelo. You know, it was just all about coming to actually win. And in my opinion, I feel like Caleb Smith didn't come to win. You know, Canelo just had his way. He was able to punch at all angles, punch him coming forward on the inside, like I said, to the body, to the head, right hands up top, you know, almost stopped him. I feel like I thought the fight was about to get stopped in like 9th or 10th, but nah, man, like Caleb Smith just stayed in there to survive. And if you look at the arm too, like Canelo was having fun in there. He was trying different things. I mean, he damaged or ruptured that tricep up, you know, on the left arm of Caleb Smith just with those big right hands. He just constantly kept hitting him there. You're thinking like, okay, Caleb's blocking these shots, but no, like they're damaging. That's how powerful Canelo was in there and how, you know, dominant he was. He was just hitting him anywhere, doing big damage to the face, like I said, to the tricep. So when you really look at it, man, it was just like, okay, what was Caleb Smith's plan? Just to come in there, get a paycheck, you know, and just to survive. And I think a lot of people felt that way. You know, a lot of people felt like he just came in there to just stay in there and just kind of go through the motions. But as for Canelo, I'm not really blaming him. I'm not saying it's his fault, because I did say out of the super middleweights, he needs to fight either Caleb Smith, Benavidez, or Caleb Plant. I did say that, and he did beat this guy, so I give him credit for what he was able to do against. But with that being said, he needs to go after the guys that we know have been talking, you know, the guys who have been showing improvement and have been answering questions, you know, guys who have been showing great skill set and technique on the way up that grabbed the belt, Caleb Plant. Guys who throw a lot of punches, guys who are big, strong, and want that fight, Benavidez. You know, guys who are willing to move up that have belts from lower weights. Jermall Charlo went in there, fought Derevchenko, answered questions about that, said, okay, I can beat a guy like Derevchenko, and, you know, I've got the power and the strength and the size. I can move up to 168. So there's a Charlo fight as well. So, yeah, there's so many other fights out here that could solidify Canelo Alvarez's game, or excuse me, his you know, his resume and his legacy. I know he has a lot of names now on there, but you know, if you go back and look too, okay, there's some guys he's fought at the right time, like Sergey Kovalev, Rocky Fielding. You know, there's still guys out there that didn't really come to put up the fight like I feel like a Benavidez or Plant would or a Charlo would. You know, I feel like guys like that would. Then there's awkward styles like Billy Joe Saunders out there for him. So there's a good number of fighters out there from 160 up to 168, even 175, that would be really good test for Canelo even at this point. You know, Canelo just turned 30. You know, he's still 30, so I feel like he still has a few more good fights and some good tests in there for him. Anybody from Better BF to Jermall Charlo, you know. So I just feel like the Caleb Smith fight, on paper, on the outside, it was a good challenge. But after seeing what he did, then it's like, nah, man, you got to start not blaming Canelo, but you just got to start digging now for these guys that who do want it. You know, that's pretty much how I feel on it. But like I said, it ain't no hate to Canelo, because Canelo is one of my favorite fighters to watch. You know, I like his style. I just feel like there's so many other names like Jamal, Better Biev at 175, Benavidez, Caleb Plant, so many different styles and hungry guys out there that want that chance. You know, they want that chance to prove their greatness as well. But yeah, man, that's all I got on this one, guys. Like I said, I just kind of wanted to revisit some topics. I'm doing this one on the go, on the fly. Once again, you know, patience and growth is important in the octagon, in the ring, and outside of life. You know, you got to be patient in life. Like I said, being patient, you know, it keeps your mind clear. It keeps the vision clear. It keeps the focus. It keeps your focus on the task at hand clear. And it helps open up doors. You know, like I said, more opportunities will open up for you the longer you stay patient. You know, I'm not saying you need to prolong and procrastinate. Don't get that confused now. Procrastination and patience is two different things. You know, putting things off, that's one thing. But, you know, being patient and waiting for opportunities to open up, that's another. You know, as long as you know it's coming and as long as you know you got a game plan. And growing is important, man. Growth. Some of these fighters, you got to learn. You got to learn new things. You got to go in there and make proper adjustments and build up the skill set if you are going for the top. But if you're not, then okay. Then, hey, I understand that too. But if you're in the game and you continue to say, I'm the best, why ain't I getting this? Are you growing as a fighter? That's the question. But yeah, like I said, I want to see Joanna return in 2021. More videos coming, you know, about the strawweight division. I also want to see Canelo in there with Charlo, Better Biev, Plant, Benavidez, at least three of them names, man. Because I remember when Floyd, he called out De La Hoya, Ricky Hatton, and Winky Wright. At least we got two out of three of them names. You know, I know Floyd didn't want no Winky Wright. That would have been crazy. I'm going to actually do a video on that sometime. But yeah, man, that's it for this episode. This was just a real quick one I wanted to drop on y'all. Make sure y'all subscribe to the podcast. Actually, just subscribe to my YouTube channel to hear the podcast for now. But I am going to put the podcast on CB99Talks.com coming in 2021. And I'll be back with my year-end review episode, live episode, December 28th. So yeah, man, that's all I got, guys. Make sure y'all subscribe. And yeah, thanks to everybody that comes in my live streams and listen to my podcast now. Combo Breaker 99. I'm out. Subscribe. Peace.